Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey.
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 Hey, that's one here.
You know, there are some people think that's the best part of our podcast.
Mate, don't be wrong.
Tad harsh,
yeah.
As Ray
yeah.
Wilkins, the late great, might have said.
Yes, a tad harsh fellow.
My name is Richard Keys.
My name is Andrew Gray.
This is Keys and Gray, the podcast, available on all good social media platforms. If you have an electronic device at home, you can ask her, it, she, him, they, to play Keys and Gray, the podcast. And...
Whoa.
Correct. Equally, you can go on Instagram and Twitter.
Right.
Anything you have to say, talk to us at Keys and Gray. Spell it out, Keys and Gray Pod. And now that you've found us, tell your mates where we are. Although you'll have to wait a little while for the next in the series.
Oh yeah, you will. Yeah.
Because we're done.
We're done.
This will be the last.
Yeah.
For now.
For now. For now. For now.
Two great, great guests today. Ahead of the Champions League final, Il Presidente
Ramon
Calderon. Tell us, is it really the case that Kylian Mbappe is about to be appointed as chief exec, chairman, and player manager of Paris Saint-Germain? Or has he signed a deal for Real Madrid? I think the latter. And we'll also be talking with Ian Rush.
Ah, Rushy.
A new... What are they called?
Muriel.
Muriel unveiled.
New Muriel.
Unveiled this week of Rushy.
Yeah.
All those years on.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good. I mean, he was brilliant.
Wasn't he just?
I played against him so many times. Used to do my head in. He was so good.
Yeah. One of those almost impossible.
Yeah.
You could keep an eye on him for 89 minutes. Mind you, he's probably most weeks scored before that.
Yeah,
but you could keep an eye on him for 89 minutes and think, I've done well today.
Yeah,
and the next minute.
He did have another thing in his locker. He had Dalglish.
Yeah, that did happen a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
That wasn't bad.
Much to discuss. Shall we go through the little bits and pieces before?
Go on.
We do pitch invasions. Mm-hmm. This was brilliant. Andy Dunn today, speaking to a select committee about the need for football to have an independent regulator. Nadine Dorris said, we can have no more Macclesfields, no more Derbies, no more Chelseas.
Really?
Hold on. What exactly has gone wrong at Chelsea that an independent regulator would have sorted?
Yeah.
Asks Andy. Yeah. Timo Werner being born offside?
No.
Thomas Tuchel sending on Kepa in the Carabao Cup final? No. The fundamental overriding objection to an independent regulator is surely that the independent regulator would have to be chosen by spectacular dimwits such as Nadine Dorris.
There you go.
Correct.
Well said. Well said.
No more Chelsea's. Chelsea are only in trouble as a result of...
Correct.
Governmental decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Staggering. Manchester United have cancelled their Player of the Year awards.
Are we going to laugh there?
No, I think it's a sensitive and sensible decision.
Oh, right.
I think they would have struggled to find one, to be honest with you, but I think it's the right thing to
do. Yeah, the goalie probably went again.
I was interested in that when it broke Thursday night and we were working. Here it is in the Times today. Pogba turned down a City move over backlash fears. Yeah.
So he turned down a City move, where's he going?
Well, they're saying either Paris or Juventus, but...
I can't see. I mean, again, I might be wrong. I don't see Pogba and Guardiola being a match made in heaven. I really don't.
No, Guardiola Pogba would drive Guardiola to distraction.
Yeah, he would. I find it really strange if that's the case. If Guardiola sanctioned a move for him, I'd be amazed. But obviously, he's not going.
Staggering.
Yeah.
Where is this the information that came to me last night that I need to share with you again? Premier League. Here we go. Premier League and the World Cup. What have I said to you about the way that we operate VAR?
We know.
It is in contravention of the protocol. It remains in contravention of the protocol, despite the fact we forced Mike Riley to accept that referees should go to a monitor. As they go to the monitor, they're told what decision it is they're going to make when they get there. We need to be able to hear the conversation at the monitor for them to prove to me that I'm wrong, but I'm not. And it is never the case that a referee leaves a monitor having
stayed with his decision.
Stayed with his original call, because VAR is refereeing football matches.
Yeah.
The guy in the middle isn't.
Well, that's so they can say they got 100% of decisions right.
Premier League has zero VAR operators at the World Cup.
I saw that.
Announced FIFA.
I think that's a testimony to how well the world views our VAR.
Well, it's a testimony to the fact that we've got it wrong and the rest of the world operate differently.
Yeah, so you can't bring people who don't know how to work it to a World Cup finals.
I think they do know how to work it, Andy, and I think there have been occasions when it has been useful. But what we can't have is the protocol that we currently operate with, which is that VAR has the final decision.
Yeah. No.
Ashley Barnes, Thursday night, should have gone off.
Oh, easy. I mean, I know.
Ayew should have gone off.
Yeah.
You know, ask the referee.
Go and have a look.
Go and have a look and just be comfortable with the decision you've made. And you might change your mind with the angles that we've got.
Yeah.
But instead of that, Stuart Atwell, as it was, or John Brooks sitting elsewhere, who doesn't have a feel for the game, who doesn't understand the atmosphere in which Anthony Taylor was working at Goodison. Difficult night for him.
Yeah.
But as a ref, you've got to have the ability to make the final decision.
You have.
And I think that speaks volumes that the FIFA
said it's damning.
We don't want you boys.
There you are, Mike. You've done a brilliant job.
Yeah.
None of your boys are going.
Well done, Michael.
Are going to the World Cup.
Rafa Benitez talking this week. It wasn't me, Gov. It's not my fault. Everton were in trouble. I left them in a far better place than this. And you can't compare my Liverpool to Jurgen Klopp's because the most expensive player I ever signed was 20 million. Do you know he signed 64 different players whilst he was the coach at Liverpool? 64 in 6 years.
How can that be possible? 6 years. That's over 10 a season.
Yeah.
You cannot sign 10 players a season.
Bob Payton, what he's saying is Klopp signs £40 million players and sits them on the bench. Well, Rafa, I've got to tell you that Bob Paisley had 440 grand and bought Kenny Dalglish.
Yeah.
It's relative to the era in which you worked.
Well, we're talking nearly 20 years ago, some of his signings. 2004, I think he was at Liverpool.
Yeah.
So if he's at 2004, that's 18 years
ago. £261 million he spent.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money back then.
Always somebody else's fault for Benitez.
Yeah, he's always full of excuses.
If Everton had gone down, A, I believe he would have been quite pleased. He would have felt vindicated.
Oh, he probably would have done, yeah.
And B, he would have taken no responsibility.
None at all.
Wins against Burnley, Norwich, Southampton, who were all in the bottom five at the start of the season, and Brighton.
You're joking.
That's it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Was that his wins?
That's his wins. And he's saying I left them in a really good place.
Dear.
He also would have been continuing to play Salomon Rondon, no doubt.
Probably.
Integrity fears with Wolves owed a Jota bonus if Liverpool win the title.
See, there's your conspiracy head again.
Well, it's not me. This is a piece by Matt Hughes, the chief sports correspondent.
What's Matt insinuating then?
I don't think he's insinuating
exactly.
anything. He's just pointing out that Wolves,
if they get beat and Liverpool win the title, they get a nice whacking great big bonus.
Yeah, they only put $4 million down for Jota.
Wow.
$4 million. They've subsequently, according to Matt here, been paid a further $13 million. This has to be one of the bargains of.
Must be.
Of
I thought this. It was $30 million. It was.
Well, but it's in stages, and they get another big chunk. He doesn't go on to say how much if Liverpool win
the title. Oh, no. Well, I don't think they will anyway.
but they don't have to, of course, for Liverpool to beat Wolves.
No.
As long as City do what they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
But maybe Steven Gerrard, all these years maybe. On, maybe there's a ghost to exercise.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It does happen in sport.
It does.
A lot.
Maybe a late equaliser in a 2-2.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I remember Stuart Pearce exercising some ghosts from the penalty spot. At Wembley,
yes.
Didn't he?
Yes.
Playing for England.
Absolutely. Yes.
It does happen.
So we don't know, do we?
No.
Piece here by Jason Burt, who I like. Great writer. Very well connected, Jason. Klopp trails only Ferguson in the pantheon of greats.
Wow. Only... Do it on what assessment? Doing it what and his, what he's achieved as a Liverpool manager?
Yeah.
What has he won? One title?
He's won one title, one champion. He's won the lot, hasn't he? So
he's won the lot, but once.
Yeah. In less than seven years, he's arguing it took Fergie 13 to do the clean sweep.
Yeah, I get that. But Fergie took again a very different era. Mm. Fergie took Manchester United over. I mean, he took 5 years to win a trophy, didn't he? Mm-hmm. FA Cup, the first one. Yeah, but after that, I mean, it was just a waterfall of
I think people also forget that, in fairness to Fergie, he didn't just have to build a first team.
No.
He had to find
everything.
Training headquarters.
Everything.
That was already completed. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing wrong with Melwood for Klopp to work with.
No.
Better now that they've moved.
Mm-hmm.
But Fergie had to find a scouting system. He had to identify a system to bring in youth to the football club. I mean, he had to... The whole place... drag it up by its bootlaces.
Yeah,
and not many others have done that. Arsene, yes.
Yeah, Arsene did the same.
But Arsene inherited, I would argue, a better team than Fergie did.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Mourinho, but he wasn't there long enough.
Mourinho had
a good side, came second, didn't he?
Yep.
The year before,
Ranieri.
Yeah, had them second. I think Klopp's up there. Yeah, he has to be. But I think he's still got to add. He's got to add another Champions League. He might do that in the next 2 weeks. He's got to add certainly more than one title.
Mm.
Now, I know that it's a little unfortunate, and we always say about certain sportsmen who are born in certain eras, he's probably unlucky, Klopp, that City are around right now.
Well, you see, I made the mistake of making this point to Martin O'Neill on one occasion.
What did you say?
I said that Ron Atkinson was unfortunate because Manchester United played in an era when Liverpool were... almost unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Martin corrected me and said, well, not by us. And he was right.
Oh, it was in the mid-80s.
Well, yes, but initially Forest in that period in the 70s when Liverpool were really in their pump.
Yeah, yeah.
They won a title. But they won the European Cup.
What they're saying, and it's true, it's like, you imagine the amount of golfers when Tiger Woods was in his pomp before his accidents. Imagine the great golfers who didn't win a major because Tiger was around.
Yeah.
Or you look at Andy Murray.
Well, you just got
how unfortunate for Andy Murray that he's played with Djokovic, Nadal.
Well, there is the argument. Just be better.
Well, I mean...
I know, but that's the point Martin was making.
Yeah.
We still won the title.
Yeah,
we beat them in a League Cup final.
Yeah, they did.
We dethroned them as European champions. Mm-hmm. You know, they did do that.
Yeah, they did do that.
A psychologist here reckons Thomas Tuchel got it wrong. In the penalty shootout.
By?
Gia Jordai, a professor of Norwegian School of Sports Scientists. He said, penalty shootout is a psychological game, starting with how the manager communicates. Liverpool were one up before the shootout lead. He argues that Klopp finished his speech within 2 minutes of the final whistle, at which time Tuchel was still deciding his penalty takers and descended into a mild panic. What could have been a smooth final reminder to the team becomes erratic, rushed and stressed.
I didn't notice that. And then again, I wasn't watching that closely.
Yeah, I suppose it's not our job, is it?
But yeah.
Liverpool did use psychologists for both of their penalty shootouts.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. What would you wish for Frank Lampard to have learned after another unacceptable season for Everton?
I think the obvious ones are we're not good enough. As we stand, that investment will need to be made, and he will have to.
Yeah, but he would have known that.
Yeah, he would have known
that. I'm talking more about the specifics of how ultimately they got over the line.
Well,
he abandoned his
obsession
with playing.
Yeah, I mean, Frank was always at Derby and certainly at Chelsea, a man who based all his football on keeping the ball and passing it and playing through the lines and what have you, and playing across the back. And when he arrived at Everton, he tried to do that and he tried to implement that, but it wasn't working. And what I liked about him is that he was able to, and with the help of his coaches, I'm sure, he was able to turn around and say, do you know what? I hope he was able to turn around and say, do you know what? This is not going to get us out of trouble. What I'm asking the boys to do isn't going to get us out of trouble. I need to give them some help. I need to find another way to get results. One, he had to make sure we defended better, which he hadn't always had a reputation for, Frank. He was always a coach that people thought that he could get at them too easy.
Not enhanced last night.
No, not early on. But what I'm saying is they did get better and they did stop goals going in and they made themselves more competitive. 1-0 wins, I said to you. Get over the line winning 1-0. Also, don't be obsessed with passing the football. Everton have played some of their best stuff when they've got the ball from back to front to Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison and Anthony Gordon and Demarai Gray and get the ball in an area where we can really affect the game. I've always said that. Liverpool, they don't win things are up there and going for four titles because they don't get the front three in the game often enough. No, they get the front three in the game as often as they can. Now, they don't just lump it, but how many times we sit and watch Virgil van Dijk go open himself up?
You talk about lumping. What is the difference between... Everton's most effective passer of the ball
is
last
a goalkeeper.
Night was the goalkeeper.
Exactly.
So what is the difference between a lump and a ball that he strikes from his own penalty
box
to the edge of the other box?
Right. And if you have the luxury of somebody like Calvert-Lewin, now his timing was a bit off last night. He's a bit rusty. I'll give him that, the young man. But he can leap like the proverbial Scottish salmon.
No, that brings back so many bad memories of my childhood. Hugh Johns.
Huh?
The centre forward's name was. Salmon, he jumped like that mighty fish and zoink against the crossbar.
Zoink.
Oh, no.
Well, it doesn't zoink.
No.
But what I'm saying is, anyway, he's got a magnificent leap on him. So you can play a long ball to Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And I think confident that he'll either win it or he'll stop them getting a free header. Now, once the ball drops in that last third, you can play all the football you want. And Everton did do that. And I think they look so much better when they do that. I don't want to see us just get it every time the goalkeeper gets it and thump up the pitch. I'd like us to mix it up. I think he will. But I think he would have learned a lot about each individual player. You don't know about players until you get in there, Keezy.
Mm.
You know, it would worry me that Mina's always injured.
Yeah,
I don't know
wouldn't
what. I you know, he makes a difference when he's there, but he's not there often enough.
Mm.
You know, there are players that will stay. And you can work on it, but there's a lot of work to be done. I just think that he'll have learnt a lot about his players. He'll have learnt a lot about himself, I think. You know, his decision-making. He'll be sitting there thinking, oh, I got that wrong. I wouldn't do that again. Or I did get that right, and I'm going to make sure that we don't lose that from what we've got next year. But
would you have been celebrating last night?
I came back here and had a glass, right? I said to you, I was relieved. Right? Because that's what I felt, relief.
Let me pose the question again.
No, I wouldn't.
Would you have been celebrating last night?
No, I would have gone. I would have probably gone home, opened a bottle of champagne and had a quiet drink. Think, right, we got out of that. We got out of jail there.
So my feelings were exactly the same. I understood the enormous relief.
Me too.
And getting over the line and the manner in which it was done last night, it was terrific. But Evertonians shouldn't be in a position whereby they're celebrating staying in the league.
No, we shouldn't.
They really shouldn't.
No, we shouldn't. And that's true because...
The other thing that bothered me, and I think we were quite relaxed about it initially, and it's bothered me all week, are these pitch invasions.
Yeah.
Now, again, I understand that the euphoria is going to lead to, in some circumstances... Probably all of them.
Yeah.
That kind of reaction. It'll happen at the Etihad if City get over the line. But it shouldn't.
But it will.
But it shouldn't. Because we've already got one lad in jail this week after an attack on Billy Sharp, which was scandalous. Patrick Vieira, I think, will get him... We'll be in trouble. Because
you think so?
You can't do that. I mean, it could have started a mini fight and somebody could have got badly injured. Take it all the way back to its core and those Evertonians shouldn't have been on the pitch, but Patrick shouldn't be reacting in the manner that he did. Never mind the dressing rooms over there and he had to walk over the pitch. I understand all that, but you can't do it.
No, I know
you can't do it.
It's really hard though.
And it stems from, if you want to look at it in the round, the fireworks in front of the hotel when Chelsea visited and Brentford and why wasn't that stopped? Why was nothing done about that? It's not just Evertonians, but how are people able to get onto the pitch so easily We can't fence them in.
Basically, because there's no one to stop them. That's why.
Well, perhaps if we minimum 3-match ban behind closed doors at the start of next season would make people think again about whether they're going to run on the pitch, Andy. Something has to be done because somebody is going to get badly hurt. And Billy Sharp
did.
Yeah, he was brilliant the way he reacted. Thug's not going to change my mind about Forest supporters, but it's dangerous.
It is.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
The flares. No,
I don't.
That's got to stop.
I know. There's a few things like that creeping into football. You know, the kids running on the pitch at the end to get a shirt. You know, things like that from players.
No,
that's dangerous as well.
Yes.
You know, that these things have all crept in to our game. It's a difficult one. I understand that the relief that was around, it was almost like a pressure cooker being released at Goodison when that winning goal went in. And I get that it happened. It doesn't make it right. I agree with you. I don't know how you stop it. With regards to Vieira, I don't know with Patrick. I think I've seen the video. You and I have watched it this morning of the guy who videoed him. And it's not nice. It's not nice the way he verbally abuses
of course.
Patrick Vieira.
But
and I think if somebody had come by the way, to me and was in my face like that.
Just go on my Twitter account.
I might turn around and chin him as well if it was the case. But I wouldn't be right. I wouldn't
but you'd be before. Arrested for doing that. And quite rightly.
But I'd take a lot of satisfaction.
Somebody's abusing. But we can't.
I know we can't.
We can't.
He has to set an example.
Correct. We cannot sink to that level whereby we are reacting.
I know.
Because that's what they're looking for.
It's really difficult. And the spur of the moment, you know, when you're walking across there. Whether it was walking across or just going to the dressing room or whatever, when you're walking across there, and you know everybody's excited because you're walking through them and you can feel it, and they're all having, most of them are having gentle banter with you and maybe goading you a little bit. But the punter who really got stuck into Patrick, that's hard to bite your lip, really hard, especially when you're like Vieira. We know Vieira as a footballer, he was an emotional footballer.
Yes, but I...
You know what I mean? I remember Roy Keane and him used to lock horns many,
but
many
you
occasions.
Still, you cannot react like
but
that.
Are you saying then he should be charged, Vieira?
I think he probably will be. I would be very surprised if he wasn't.
No.
There may be extenuating circumstances that he'll argue.
I don't think
that you can... I mean, if we allow that to happen, then where does it stop? Where's the line?
So are you saying on Sunday, as soon as that whistle goes at the Etihad and they've won the title, they'll be on the pitch?
Without doubt.
Wow.
But would they, if between now and Sunday, the Football Association said, if there is another invasion, Manchester City will play behind closed doors for 3 games at the start of next season?
Yeah. I mean, it's not new, is it, though? I'm just going through my head here.
No,
it's not new. At the end of the season, especially after the
but
end
what
of
is
your,
new, Andy?
At the end of your home games, your last home game of the
correct.
Season.
Correct, but what is new is the creeping, violent element.
Yeah, it is.
And that's not good.
The Billy Sharp thing was horrific. I mean, it really was horrific. That's as bad as I've seen for, well...
And what if Vieira turns around last night, kicks the lad, and all of a sudden 3 or 4 more pile in, and we've got a real problem on our hands?
Yeah, there is that. I know. Well, I mean, it's up to clubs and supporters to get together, isn't it?
Or is it up to the authorities to say?
Yeah.
Because
okay.
I don't think you can just ask.
Surely City will make a point of saying to the supporters, please do not come on the pitch.
So did Everton. I felt for the guy on the PA last night who's saying, please clear the pitch.
They'll come out beforehand. They'll not let that wait until they're on the pitch. They'll come out surely today, tomorrow, and be saying, listen, whatever happens, so last game of the season at home, we don't want you.
I think Blackpool have been threatened with a 3-point deduction. There's another. And it always, of course, rebounds on the club. And there will be those who argue, well, it's the individuals that are there. But the club has
a responsibility.
In charge. He's responsible. Andy Holt, the chairman of Altrincham's, come out today and said, this is a disaster because so much good work was going on behind the scenes to actually get to a better place for supporters. Maybe returning to a time when you could take alcohol into the arena to watch the game. Not now.
Not now.
That's got no chance.
No. I mean, and it's every game. Every game that the end of this season, every game there's been that's either all involved the playoffs or like Everton survival, and we'll talk about that since Sunday, no doubt, Manchester City's potential winning of the title, that there'll be a pitch invasion.
Mm.
We know that now. And there won't be at Wembley, I wouldn't have thought. in the playoffs, will there?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, the way it's gone, man, they will, won't they?
I've just thought it might be because they're at their own ground and it's easy to get on. Surely Wembley's much more better, is it built?
Well, not anymore. They used to have those lines of string, didn't they? Yeah. Remember those fences that they would lay down and say, OK, try and get over there. Yeah. Some did, 1966 and all
that. Yeah.
Evertonian, there's a theme here.
66 and 67, but we took your goalposts away. 67.
No, it wasn't 67, much later.
Oh, 67.
No, later than 67 when you took the post.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was 80.
Well, that was in the ground.
You're thinking about the day you became world champions. No, yeah. It wasn't then. No. Scots were much better behaved that day. Anyway, it's got to stop. We're having a chuckle, but it isn't good. And somebody has to be serious enough about it now to say, come on. Enough.
There is going to be. The more I think about it, the more that the potential for there to be a genuine ruck.
Yeah.
Is there if somebody reacts, if a player reacts, and a player's more likely to react than a coach.
Mm.
You would think the coach with a little bit more experience and a cooler head might take a lot more goading, but you can imagine a player who's been fired up, who's had 90 minutes,
yes,
whose emotions are all over the place, and suddenly somebody comes in and is in his face.
And I know it's difficult, but if you use a footballing analogy, similar. How many times have we watched players go, oh, fucking idiot, you're on a yellow, what have you gonna done that for? Because you
I know
that's why.
Yes,
but you can't, can you?
I know.
Okay, let's talk to our first guest, shall we? I'm really looking forward once again to spending time in the presence of or rather the company of the former president of Real Madrid.
Football royalty
without question.
Yes,
Ramon Calderon. Señor Calderon, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Yeah. Well, I'm quite well. Yes, we're waiting for the match next Saturday.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be a very interesting match. Not easy for either team.
But are you very confident?
Well, I am in the fact that last seven Champions League finals we played, we've won all of them. So... But apart from that, I think UEFA has prepared a special trophy for the miracles we did in the last
Yes.
That's really more what I think we should talk about first, Ramon. How on earth did you get past?
No idea.
Well, with on this, I think I've got half an idea.
Right.
VAR wasn't working.
Right.
Otherwise, the first. One's a foul on the keeper.
Donnarumma.
And maybe if they don't get that one, they don't get the rest.
Yes,
so I would say VAR was either not working or the operator was having a cup of tea.
Or the operator was Ramon Calderon.
Copa de Rosado. Or the operator was Ramon Calderon. You somehow produced another miracle before, I mean, Ramon against Manchester City. I've seen everything, I'd never seen that.
By the way, Chelsea.
Well, yes. But
Paris Saint-Germain, yeah, Chelsea, City, how they've won any of those, Ramon, I don't understand.
Well, there were three miracles only within Real Madrid grasp and someone who lived 2,000 years ago. it's really, really impressive. But we've done that many, many times in our history. Is because the Champions League is in our DNA in some ways, our gene. I don't know why, but players who come here to play with our shirt, they know that it's something special with this competition. We helped to build it in 1955.
You did, yes, in
fairness. And that's why the Bernabeu changes completely when this competition is played in our stadium. But it's true. It's not understandable. Very difficult to explain to anyone who hasn't seen those matches and has seen that in the minute 89, you are just losing 0-1, and finally you win that tie. So very difficult to understand. I agree with you.
It reminds me of an occasion, Ramon, when Real Madrid had a proper president and they went to Mallorca needing a miracle to win the league, and somehow
they got the miracle.
They pulled that one off as well. You know.
He was a good president.
Coming from a place where in that season, Fabio Capello had suggested to the president, listen, we're not finishing sixth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't last long.
Yeah. Well, but finally, everyone helped to win that title. It was amazing, too. And, well, we managed to do in a way that it was difficult to believe. We were saying 8 matches to the end. We were, I think, 9 points behind Barcelona. We started to win matches. And finally, we won that title. It was really amazing. We never give up. That's the most important thing for this this club and for players who come to this team, including Mbappé.
We will come round to that. Even you, Ramon, as you sat there watching that game against Manchester City, you must have been a little bit like me. I thought, okay, 1-1.
Yeah.
Consolation.
Yeah.
Within a minute, it's 2-1. Even you must have been thinking, wow, how did that happen?
It could have been 3-1. Remember that last save.
No, you're greedy.
From the goalkeeper.
Yes, yeah. Could have been.
Before the extended time. So, could have been 3. Could have been 3.
Yeah, could have been. You could have been out. Jack Grealish gets one kicked off the line. Yeah.
Nothing to do with the referees. You have to say that. Nothing to do with... they can make mistakes, but not in this case. I think it was something special, and that's why we are going there with the morale very high. The players are really confident of winning this title. Let's hope it's going to be like that, but I know it's not going to be easy. Liverpool is playing very well. It's finally, Mané, Salah and Diaz have been the attack. They're very, very dangerous. They can score goals at any moment. I think Liverpool is very strong, much stronger than when we beat them in Kiev 3-1. I think so. And let's see. It's going to be a very interesting match, very exciting match.
You also don't have Sergio Ramos to injure Mo Salah, so
it was a lot of jokes about that.
Someone accident
from Taekwondo said it was an Ushiro Nataki or something like that.
They weren't laughing on Percy's side.
No,
trust
they
me. Ramon, you mentioned Mbappe. I was reading reports yesterday that he's to be offered the ownership of Paris. he'll be CEO, chairman, player manager, and sack everybody and anybody he doesn't like. I mean, is that in response to Paris perhaps knowing that he has already signed or is signing for Real Madrid?
I think that all our rumours. They said, I've heard that on Sunday after the French league has finished. He will say something, but I don't have a personal knowledge of that. I haven't seen any document, but it seems that it was clear last December when Real Madrid made an offer of 200 million to PSG that there was something, some kind of agreement. It's ridiculous just to make an offer, and then if the club accepted it, the player will say, no, I'm not going. So It seems in December it was okay, but I don't know now. Everything seems that it's coming, but let's wait. It's going to be a matter of 10 days or less than that.
Is your belief that he will join Real Madrid?
I think so, but it's my belief. I don't know, but I think he will. Everything shows that it's going to happen. Also, the player hasn't accepted to extend his contract with PSG. And it's clear, as I said before, that in December there was a kind of deal with him. I suppose they can have done something that I did with Cristiano Ronaldo when he was going to finish his contract. And that's normal in this world to do that. You have to talk to the player. It's a hypocrisy to say that you don't talk to the player. Why are you going to try to sign a player if the player hasn't said before that he's willing to join your club?
But surely it would be a huge disappointment to everyone in Madrid if Kylian Mbappe isn't wearing a white shirt in August when the season starts again.
I think so. Everyone here thinks that he's coming. It's the belief of everyone. All the news have come in that direction. so, in my opinion, he must be here, but you never know. I don't know if it's going to be a turn in the last moment. All of that they are offering him, I think it's a bit late. The player must have made up his mind already, I suppose. And then he was here a few days ago. I don't know if they said he came for pleasure.
Yes, of course.
Raman, it's not bad coming to Madrid for pleasure.
Do you mind me asking this question? It's very hard to put your finger on the magic, the white magic that the Bernabeu conjures on Champions League nights. We've already discussed the result against Manchester City. From impossible to the outcome you needed.
Doable, huh?
Where do Real Madrid conjure money from when
from our own resources, Richard. Our, right. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We've spoken about that many times. Yes. And we are not a company. We are a non-profit association. We
of course.
To have a stable model, business model, we need to rely on our own resources.
Right.
We do that. Mm-hmm. And we get a lot of money because sponsors wants to be linked to Real Madrid.
Okay.
And all of them are very happy about that. And also we have memberships, we have season tickets sale. All of that makes money enough because no one is putting the money. We cannot increase a capital that we don't have. We don't have shareholders, as you know. So money is coming from our own resources.
So 200 million you're raising this summer then just for Mbappe alone?
Well, and the rest. And the rest.
That's just for his transfer fee.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, his £1 million a week.
But we've been I think 3 or 4 years without signing any high signing, any important signing.
Okay.
So we've been saving money for this really big signing.
Oh yeah, yeah. So of course now I remember, of course Richard.
Nonsense.
Hazard wasn't a big signing, was he?
And don't rule out another signing. Don't rule out another signing.
Oh, another signing as well. Right.
Wow.
But I think so.
Yeah.
It must get more and more difficult because
for the news.
The stadium, obviously, it looks magnificent, or it will when it's done finally. But you, whatever there was to sell at the training ground, that's already been done. So where else do you turn apart from sponsors to try to raise all this money? It's
staggering.
It's a puzzle, isn't it? For those of us who don't understand.
Well, don't forget the banks. They really rely on Real Madrid performances and miracles and so on.
Right, of course. Yes.
So they are also, you need always the banks.
You need a good bank manager. That's what it is. Ramon, you need a friendly bank manager who will look after Real Madrid.
I've got it now, yeah. Yes. So these hundreds of millions from the banks and the back pockets of the supporters. So having said another signing, do you want to tease us with who do you think that might be?
Well, I think there is someone that's coming. I know, but I cannot tell you now. But it's going to be a matter of 10 or 15 days. Also, two or three good signings apart from...
Oh, two or three good signings.
Why not go for five or six, Ramon? Come on.
Well, maybe you never know. You never know when Real Madrid on stage, everything may happen.
Ramon, come and see us again soon.
Yes,
we miss you. We really do.
Are you Ramon? Are you coming for the World Cup? Yes.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Not the whole month.
No,
that would be too much. But I hope to be in the inauguration day and some days after that and see the matches of Spain and be there enjoying Doha.
Yeah.
Well, you know well that it's a very nice place to go.
Yes, so very much so.
Let's see if I can enjoy a few days there with you and all
the
friends
there.
Yes, that would
be lovely.
Well,
you better come out of the group stage, Ramon, to be sure that you're watching Spain play because we don't know.
No, for sure we'll be there.
Yeah.
If not, we come to Madrid for pleasure purposes.
Yes,
you can look after us. Ramon, as ever, thank you so much for talking
to
us.
Thank you, Ramon.
Enjoy next week.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Enjoy next week.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye, Ramon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh.
Ramon Calderon, the former president of Real Madrid.
Love him.
Who knows how it works. Who's the player? Who's it? Must be another forward.
We said wait 10 days. Does that suggest it might be a Champions League finalist? Liverpool? No, won't be anybody for Liverpool. Mo Salah, you thinking? Well, they said you've got to wait 10 days, didn't they?
Be interesting.
That's not the end of it. Oh, okay. Maybe Neymar?
No.
No?
Why would you buy him?
I don't know, but...
Why would you buy him?
There are people who still think he's one of the best players in the world. Hasn't quite showed it at Paris, but...
Hasn't quite showed it.
Yeah, well, he hasn't won the Champions League.
He hasn't ever showed it. Maybe the odd occasion at Nantes or Saint-Étienne, but when it's mattered...
Maybe who else at Paris then would interest?
Mane?
Mane's a shout. Anyway, it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But that's just as well they've got a friendly bank manager, that's all I can say.
Let's go to the other half of the equation now.
Oh, yeah.
And speak with Rushy. Rushy, how are we doing?
Very good, thank you.
Rushy, how are you, son? And leave me alone.
Well,
I
was just about to say,
don't do anything.
My mate
say
is
anything.
Very emotional this morning, Rushy, and I think
just
you'll
leave
understand
me alone,
why.
Rushy, enjoy your success while you can, but we'll be back.
I will.
One of my abiding images from the season, Rushy, were those pictures of yourself and Reedy in the director's box after the derby.
No.
When you're dancing in his face, and Reedy's face, you know what he wants to do. He's got a face like a spanked arse.
No wonder I said to him before the game, he said, I'm going to sit beside Rushy in the director's box. I said, you must be kidding. That's the last place I'd be sitting.
It was funny, though, you know, when I invited him to the game and all that, and I said, don't jump off if you score. He said, there's no chance of that anyway.
That's true. For you, Rushy, the morning after, I would have thought for you an emotional day as well, the unveiling of that magnificent mural. How did that come about?
Well, I think it's Liverpool Football Club and Liverpool Council. You know, they asked me would I be interested, and I jumped at it. You know, I was so proud yesterday to have to have my face on the wall. You know, it was there
fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. It was there to scare opponents. That's why they put my face on it.
I was just going to say, it's absolutely huge, Rushy. Scared the life out of me when they came on the TV.
So at least it's working, though.
It is.
It's really nice. We've just been speaking with Ramon Calderon, his view is Liverpool are better than when they beat them last time. Do you believe that to be the case as well?
I believe they have a better squad. I think, you know, the 11 staff is very strong, but I think the last few years, Manchester City have always had a better squad than Liverpool. But I think this season, the squad Liverpool have had would equal Manchester City. So I think they're better as a squad, where I think some games I've watched after 1 hour, you've made changes and they've made a difference. I think that's the difference between Liverpool this year than last time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you are stronger, Rushy, overall. I think you get better options in all positions than City have got at the moment.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think, you know, especially striking, we have like a front, you can say six now instead of three, you know, and I think what Klopp has been very clever and his coaching staff is, you know, who to start the game against. You look at the opposition, and he looked who's the best to start. And, you know, there's only three will start and three are waiting on the bench.
We don't know yet. But, I mean, I was sharing an article with Andy Rushy before we spoke to you. There's a feeling that having done the clean sweep in 6 years, only Fergie has a better record than Jurgen Klopp now. Andy made the point. We don't know what's going to happen going forward, but it is only one league title. Or should we look at that statistic differently and say it's won after 30 years of hurt and therefore it's much more significant?
Yeah, I think it is. I think after the 30 years, you know, I think that was the Holy Grail, and Jurgen has won that. So, again, it's competition. I just think Manchester City, even though they're saying that, they are still a strong squad, and it looks like they're going to get Haaland as well next year. So they're going to be even stronger next year. So it's going to be a big test for Liverpool next year to see how they fare.
Has this year surprised you in any way, Rushy? Did you expect your team to be involved? Well, in every game that they could be involved in, they've been involved in. It's an extraordinary record, isn't it?
Yeah, it did surprise me, because you'd be lying if you said you didn't. And if you asked me to start the season, we'd win two trophies. Mm. I'd have taken that all day long. Now we got, it's like having two finals now where they could win the quadruple. And you'd have to say, whether you like it or not, you'd have to say if they won the quadruple, they'd have to go down as most probably the best Liverpool squad ever, because no one else has done it.
No, I was going to ask you that. Let's just go down memory lane. I'm not going to ask you to make comparisons. Let's look at it this way around. How many of today's starting 11 would get into what I still believe was the greatest Liverpool team of all time, the one that you and Sui and Kenny played in? How many would get into that team?
Well,
I'm not here to say anything like that.
No, Mo Salah. Mo Salah would walk in, wouldn't he?
Where?
Right side instead of Sammy.
Instead of Sammy.
Robertson instead of Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd still go Dalglish Rush up top.
Yes, yes.
Souness would still start.
Yes.
You're the manager, so I'll let you get on with it.
Well, you then disagree with me if I'm wrong. What about the two central defenders? Would Van Dijk get in?
Yes.
I would say Van Dijk,
yes. Van Dijk and Hansen.
Yeah. Van Dijk and Hansen.
Yeah. Van Dijk, Hansen.
Quality.
Left side, Manny.
Kennedy or Manny?
Left side, Manny.
Who? Manny, yeah.
Ray Kennedy or Manny? Who are you going for?
Oh, that's a difficult one there, because Ray Kennedy was a
magnificent,
so underrated player.
Yes,
you know.
Magnificent. Magnificent player.
So you think that's fair? You say so that's what we'd get in?
I think maximum five. Yeah. Maximum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think what would happen is... Do you not think what would happen, though, is that the young Liverpool fan might go with a few more of the modern game because it didn't really see you guys play.
Yeah, but I did.
I know you did.
So therefore, I'm in a much better position.
It will be slanted.
Do you know what, Rushy? I've got to confess, I got out this morning from the shower thinking about this conversation yourself, and my mind then went to Terry Mack, and then it went to the cup final when you all came out doing the Dougie Doings and waving your...
The Dougie Doings.
The Dougie Doings was the waving...
Dougie Doings. What's the Dougie doing?
The Dougie Doings was the raising of the right arm to walk like Bob Paisley, whose nickname from the boys was Dougie.
All right.
And Dougie was Doings. Yeah. And so, what the fuck? What the fuck? you can't do that anymore, can you?
Nah, you can't do anything now. So that's the way it is, isn't it? But the thing is, now when you tell stories and all that, we have some great stories to tell. And you think about the present day players and all that. Will he have stories like that to tell themselves? There must probably be no.
Would you have swapped what you went through for a piece of today?
No.
Andy, no,
I enjoyed my time. You know, we were successful. The best thing in our time, anyway. I think the dressing room banter. Okay. You know, the team spirit and all that. You know, it was so funny. We had a laugh and a joke, and everyone took the mickey out of each other and all that. And you just can't buy that.
No, you can't. You can't. You'd probably take the money these days, Rushy, if that was the case. That's probably the only thing we'd miss, isn't it? What the boys get paid these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some of that. Now, listen, looking forward
just,
to...
Just before you say, Bob used to hand out the boot money at the end of the
Did
year
he?
To the lads. Yeah, they would all go in and receive
an envelope.
A share of the money that Bob had received. Probably. How much Bob subsequently himself was
half
able
of that,
to
we think.
Throw it away is another matter.
Half of it. just briefly on the final, Rushy, I know you expect Liverpool to win. I know you would say that. But what do you fear about Real Madrid?
Oh, I think Benzema, you know, the form he's
That's
in.
That's it?
Yeah, I think he's come, yeah. But I think Benzema's, he's come of age. You know, he's always been playing set and fiddle at Madrid. Uh-huh. You know, Ronaldo and all that and other people. But I think he's come to his own this season. And I just think he's an amazing player. And I just feel that we, at the back, we're capable of holding with Van Dijk, capable of keeping him quiet. That's what I'm open for.
Chris Wellesby's just walked in, Rushy, and sends his best wishes.
Yes.
No, I don't.
I've already told him, leave it out.
A hat-trick of blues it is.
Yes.
I cannot pretend that I wasn't absolutely delighted last night. There's no point me hiding that. Very, very happy. But they've got to do better, Rushy. They can't keep celebrating staying in the league.
No.
Not good enough.
No.
Final one down memory lane.
You can't have in this lot taking the piss every
time. Exactly. How many? How was it that you scored all of those goals against Everton?
Well done.
I think it was. I'm going to say Kevin Ratcliffe, but I'm not going to say
Rats. Oh, Rats will be furious. Oh, no. He's not going to be happy with you.
I'll tell you what it was. I'll never forget. When I was playing for Chester, right? I remember Everton, I got told Everton come to watch me play. And Gordon Lee was the manager. And I'll never forget, it was newspapers in them days. And Gordon said, Ian Rush is not good enough to play for Everton. So I'll never forget that. Then about 3 months later, I signed for Liverpool. And my first thing was, I'm going to make them pay for this. And I did.
Oh, well, you did. And you never stopped.
Yeah. Twat.
Rushy, great to talk. Thank you so much. Enjoy next weekend.
Maybe.
As strictly a neutral, I hope it goes well,
I'm
Rushy.
Not neutral. I've always liked Real Madrid. I've always had a soft spot for them, Rushy.
I love you, Rushy. Thank you, Paul. Thanks, Pal.
Cheers, mate. Take care, lad.
Take care. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye. Go. Ian Rush, too clever to get caught.
Oh, yes.
Too clever to get caught, naming a side that he played in. And
But I'm right, the ones who remember that side that you talk about, the 70s,
magnificent,
late 70s, early 80s, it was full of top players. But the kids of today would vote for the team of today.
Mane, do you think? It's going through my mind.
Mane, left side.
No, Real Madrid.
Oh yeah. Ramon Calderon.
Jan Algafjortov, there was a lot of speculation about him going to Munich, and Jan who's very close to that club, very, very close, said no. Not happening. And he's rarely wrong.
Yeah.
But Solaste's, there's my best guess. Solaste's,
Mane goes.
There you go.
If it is, then it could be Real Madrid, because for him to say that not only were they about to invest 200 million in Mbappe, there might be another couple big signings coming in.
Can't say anything for 10 days.
Well, that's Champions League final.
Yeah.
So it can only be Liverpool. So if it is, there could only be probably Mane.
Yeah.
Maybe we're the head of the curve again.
Well, we look forward to joining you.
When?
I'm very emotional. It's like leaving Talk Sport at the end of that first year. Do you remember?
No.
You do. Wellesby's just fallen over. We'd had a good year.
Yeah, we had a good year.
We'd won trophies.
Is that the year? What did we win?
We won the Sunny Gold, best sports programme of the year.
Had they ever won that before at Talk Sport?
No.
Oh, right.
No, they hadn't. No. So we were the first. Yeah.
That was a great year, to be fair.
Fantastic year.
It was a great year.
Still big love to everybody.
Yes.
It was a wonderful period in our time. Absolutely. Oh, and to Catherine.
Yes.
Who's
yes,
not been please. Well.
Yes. Yes.
Good luck, Catherine.
Good luck. Get well soon, Catherine.
Yeah, from both of us.
Yeah.
And that's it for this series. We should be back in some form, I'd like to think, August 7th.
Season starts August 6th, or 7th, so Friday's the 6th.
Yeah.
I think, isn't it?
Well, anyway, start the next season. Thanks for your company, and we look forward to that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.